Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and our theme is edification. How important it is to know what edification is and to be part of edification, meaning the definition, the act of building. The word oikodome means to actually build, as in building a house, especially in a moral or spiritual sense. Moral, intellectual, spiritual improvement, instruction. We are very privileged people because we have found a special quality in life that is really not us. It is the work of grace that has happened to each and every born-again believer. So I'm starting to preach now, but before I do, I want to just say, you know, from my heart, and I'm sure you would agree, that there's a great need for people to be edified. Great need for our people to be loved. It's a great need for people to find a friend. It's a great need for somebody, for us to be connected. Oftentimes, the connections that happened previously before I was a believer, it was social. It was egotistical, self-centered, natural, normal. I had my group. We talked, complimented each other, accepted each other. And that's all very normal and very natural in life. But even at the best of that, there's something to us because of our new birth. It rings hollow. It's not really edifying. It's maybe chatter, mutual admiration. I like your shoes. I like your car. You know, I like you. You like me. And this kind of relationship that we have. We want to have a good time, like in the world when people have parties or the Oscars. I asked Pastor Steve one day to look up in Hollywood, how many award ceremonies are there in a year in Hollywood? And he said 110. You have the Oscars and Emmys and Playwright Awards and all kinds of. They just are very happy to be like complimenting each other and having the limousine and the clothes and the stature and the reputation and the chatter. But Ecclesiastes 2:20 talks about going for those things and finding them to be empty or futile, vain, without real purpose. So what happened to us? Well, in Romans chapter 1, we read about people being reprobate. This is an important word. If you'd like to just turn there for build the context for what we want to say. Romans 1, and we have eidokimos, is the Greek word, means rejected. And every time I go to the dump, I think of that word, eidokimos. The rejected refrigerator at the dump, the microwave oven rejected. The bookshelf, the clothes, the mattresses thrown into the pit, rejected, unacceptable, not useful. I was thinking of a cup of coffee in the morning that you get and how great it looks, that cup of coffee. And then 10 minutes later, that cup has no interest at all to me. the coffee-stained used coffee cup is what? Rejected, thrown away. Do you need the cup? We throw them away, rejected. This is about the minds of men in Romans 1. The mind that is so attuned to the ungodliness. I was thinking of many people that I've met in life where they love sleeping around. They're sleeping around. They're just sexual, active, and that's the way they live. They've given their mind to that. That's how they think. That's how they live. They have given their mind, and that's what they want to do, what they want to hear, what they want to talk about, what movies they want to watch, how they want to think. That's a decision. And sometimes people make those decisions because they don't have anything else. They are not looking for anything else, or nothing really hits them and says, this is more than this. So the Lord gives them wrath. Wrath happens in their life. That means that there's a residing judgment on their life. And there's some restlessness, lack of peace, some frustration, some depression or anger, or there's guilt. And they feel that. And then God, like in nature, may speak to them at the palm tree on the beach in the full moon and say, come to me. And they say, no, I don't want that. I want this. So he gives them over, actually. They are given over to that. And that becomes what's called a reprobate mind that is given over to that. Those habits, those thoughts, that way of life. And they go for 20 years in the wrath of God, the problems that they have in life, like we all have. But they do not have what we're talking about today, which is edification. Edification is from another mind. Edification begins with another heart. The new covenant that we have received from in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34 is a new heart and a new spirit. When we are born again, we are given a new life, a spiritual life. And that life has also a mind. And we are attracted to and we are drawn to other thoughts. We also have a sin nature, and we can live in the carnal thinking, fleshly thinking, fallen nature of our sin nature, just like anybody. But we generally are not feeding it. Thoughts come to our mind and they're gone, or they come to our mind and we sin. After we sin, we confess it. And we walk by faith, and we are looking for the other world that is here, and that is in me, Christ in us. We are drawn to that. And as a habit now, I start to realize that I can decide in my own heart and mind what I think about. I can decide in my heart what I'm gravitating to. And I'm gravitating to faith, to God by faith. And I find myself filled with the Spirit. When I'm filled with the Spirit, I find myself edified in my relationship with God. And of course, that can become abstract until it is also linked with words. Words. Words of life. Words of faith. My words, they are Spirit and they are life. My word. Young men, You have overcome the evil one, the wicked one, because the word of God abides in you. Words, spiritual words, words of life, truth. You know, you can think about a woman or a man, but that they're so limited. And is it edifying? Is it edifying? Is sin edifying? You know, but usually people live like in a sinful world with a sinful heart, and they party and they play, or they are just moody or selfish or quiet or whatever, but they never really find what it means when God says to you very personally, I love you. You are clean. I am for you. I have your name. I know your name. I care about you. I am God. And we worship him. So we draw a contrast between the fallen man, who in Romans 1, just to notice the verses I had you turn there, they sense God in verse 20 at different times in their lives by nature. They haven't heard the gospel, but they see in nature the starry heavens, the beautiful sea or lake, the mountains, the child, the birth of a baby is shocking. Incredible to see that. And they say God, you know, they say the word God. They actually believe, but they cannot pursue it. They repress it. They don't want to hear about it. They just shut it down. So this is verse 20 and 21. And their foolish heart is darkened. In verse 21, they become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart is darkened. There are many things that we can see happening in our culture today that mystify us. What a foolish decision. What a terrible idea. We are mystified. We are shocked. We can't believe that this is being embraced. Why? Because these people have been given over. God has allowed them. They've been given over to these imaginations and darkness of heart. So verse 24, God gave them up. Wherefore God also gave them up. He has rejected them. But they may be our leaders, but God has rejected them. So we are living in a world where maybe the leadership of our society is in darkness, but we are not. We aren't perfect, but we have spiritual light. We are called the children of light in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will have that light and walk in that light. Your word, Psalm 119:105, is a light, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The entrance of your word gives understanding. Also, it makes the simple wise, Psalm 19. It rejoices our heart. The Psalm 19 is a good package of three verses on edification. All right, let me give an illustration here. Handel wrote the Messiah, and it was performed in one city, and the lord of that town, or that the man in authority, paid him compliments of the noble entertainment which he had given to the town. My lord, said Handel, I should be sorry if I only entertained them. I wish to make them better. I think that's powerful little story. The music is beautiful, it is entertaining, but that's not my goal. My goal is, in our words this morning, I want them to be better, or I want them to be edified in the reality of the new creation. That's like church life, edification. Not entertainment, but edification. So the scriptures, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 14 with me, verse 3, but he that prophesieth, and that means teaching the Bible, prophesying can also mean predicting the future. We don't deny that can happen, that somebody could have insight regarding the future. But actually, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that's our Bible. Our Bible is so important to us because it edifies. It is able to speak to your spirit. It builds you up in your new man, like Pastor Love said. We are built up in the reality that is God's world, God's mind, what Christ did. He became the mediator of the human race. Here's a good thought. I heard this recently, that when the angels were in heaven and Lucifer was the chief, the leader of the angels, and he fell, but God gave him time in heaven to propagate his message, and a third of the angels fell. Then who was the leader of the angels in heaven after Lucifer fell? And this is Martin Lloyd-Jones who said this. He said the angels didn't have a leader. But then the human race becomes the leader of the angels. How does the human race, not all, but Christ in the body, the church, becomes the leader of the angels? How? Because the leader of the angels fell, and they fell, but God decided to make a man out of the dirt and take that man and make him as high as Christ. That God became a man so that man could be like God and become the leader, actually, of all things. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that all things have been put under his feet, and we, of course, are in him. These realities are what we are feeding on for our edification. Like we have found, I understand what the sin nature is, but it doesn't give me the kind of pleasure and joy and edification and connection and satisfaction as Christ and the truth of God. The truth will set you free. Free from what? Ourselves. Free from our sin, free from our bad habits, free from discouragement, free from our morbid mood and our kind of negative disposition about life, because life can be hard. I understand that, but that's the point of the message. Edification. When life can be very hard, there's also the reality of Christ edifying you. Christ washing our feet, Christ speaking to us, Christ helping us. So chapter 14, verse 3 says, but he that prophesieth speaks unto men to edification. And exhortation. And comfort. Have you ever been with a group of people and there's a lot of chatter? but not that much edification? Have you ever been from one event to another event to another event, kind of looking to fill the heart, but you can't find it? Yeah, we as Christians, we can do a lot of activity, but it may not be edifying. We may go through the motions of our faith. We may be in a prayer meeting. We may be reading the Bible. We may be doing everything that we possibly can, but we don't find ourselves edified. That's happened to me. I'm sure it happens to you. There's something mystical about this life that you can't put your hands on. You can't package it. It's a life of faith. It's a life where God wants us to know Him. And He seems to be like breaking all kinds of, like we cannot package God. But when we find Him and He is moving in our hearts and in our lives, and when you have Him, I recognize that. That's Christ. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's Christ. I'm encouraged. I don't know what it is, but there's something fresh about our fellowship that is able to build me up. Many times we may not know each other's name, but we know each other in the Spirit. Many times I may not totally understand everything going on, but somehow I sense that I'm in the presence of God. And that's enough for me in you. We are edified. Listen to these verses. We are established in our faith and attaining unity of faith and knowledge, maturity, and the full measure of Christ in Ephesians 4:13. Edification is the special responsibility of the church leaders. Actually, I'm sure you realize every time we come, there's one thing on my mind, one thing on the minds of the leaders, and that is that we would be edified, that we would leave the house of God and feel that we have been in God's house, and that God has done something, said something, ministered something, help somebody. And in the words of Handel, I didn't want to perform. I wanted people to be better. Or in our words, I want it to be just simply, we want the body to be, we want believers, moms who struggle, a single mom struggling, raising a family with two kids and without a husband. And she comes, and there's one thing on our mind, edification. You can do it. We are with you. God is loving you. You have a lot on your plate. We care about you. But you know, she may not want our sympathy. What does she want? Maybe she needs some other kind of encouragement. We don't know. How can it work? These are gifts in the body that are given. Because, like, you know, sympathy, you can go and find it. But I don't care, you know, a person in the real world, we are wanting to have victory. We're wanting to have real answers. I need some real comfort in my spirit and in my heart. So it happens. The authority for the edification, or the edification, the exercise of it, happens so that God gives gifts to men and they use that authority for the edification of the body. 2 Corinthians 10:8. The work of building up is the work of all Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We all have that when we come and we are, but I am not edified. Let us say I come to the church, but I am not edified when I walk across that parking lot. I'm carrying a lot of my mood, my troubles at home, my frustration, a little bit of fear. I have worry, a concern, and I come in and I sit down, and I'm actually hoping God will edify me. I'm actually hoping something will touch me. I hope I get released. I start singing by faith, and I lift up my hands and I set my affection. It says, set your affection in the King James. Better translation, set your mind. It also can be have a mindset that is set on the things that are above, which you cannot see, but are real to you. I cannot see them. Like the centurion soldier whose servant was sick, and he said to Jesus, he sent a servant, and wasn't it, or did he go in himself? And he said, you know, my servant. Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And he said, no, just say the word. Because in my words, because life is spiritual, you don't have to be there. But say the word. The word can heal him. Though you are standing over here and he is over there, life is spiritual. I know that. But he didn't say that. He said, I'm a man of authority, and I can say to this one, go and come. And it happens because I have the authority. There is an authority from heaven in the body for the body to be edified, so it is different from the reprobate. The reprobate who is given over to his addictions and sins and habits, he lives a certain way under wrath. But the body of Christ is not under wrath, it's under spiritual blessing. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 1:3. We are coming by faith to the church to receive and have God visit us and edify us and build us up and say, you know, like important personal words to us. So there's two different societies in a way. There's this one, and there's this one, and there are people in between that are searching and wondering, is there anything that really can help me? Is there a living God who can heal me and speak to me and edify me as a person? And we are here for that. So, the work of building up is for all Christians. Spiritual gifts are given for the edification of the church. Of these gifts, those which involve speaking are especially important. Acts 20, verse 32. All elements of Christian worship should contribute to edification. Prophecy and instruction are especially important. Edification is not all talk, however, but involves demonstrating love. 1 Corinthians 8:1. And consideration for those that are weak in the faith. I like that. We could be quiet, but so edified. I could sit with a sister or brother. We may not say much, but we love each other. We know that. I know, he knows, I know, he knows. And we have this love that is edifying. That's our new life, because we have a new heart. We don't wrestle with our sin nature. We have a new kind of weapon. The weapon of our warfare are not carnal or soulish, but they are spiritual. And now we do warfare through the Spirit and through love, by edification, by truth that goes into the inner man. And so we're not perfect people, but we know how to live in a sinful world. And we develop convictions in our edification. This is edifying. This is what I believe. This is a conviction I have. This is where I want to live. This is how I live. So those convictions contradict these convictions, how they live. And let's just say Hollywood, you know, as just a label for it. You know, just like that's how they live. Well, that's the TV programs they make. That's the movies they make. That's how they live. That's their world. That's how they live. But I don't live in that. I decide in my heart and in my mind what I listen to, what I believe, what are my convictions. I can turn it off. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it's immoral. It might be just I don't have the time for that chatter or to put those images in my mind. I just may not have the time to be sitting there for hours watching and just receiving. And it may not even be immoral, but just a matter of how I want to use my time. Well, how did you wake up to this idea of using your time? By reading the Bible, it says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Like, utilize it in a wise way. Walk with God in such a way that you find yourself lighthearted, thankful. You see, if I'm always into the news, that's what's going to be in my heart and my mind. So you have to decide on your own. I know you're precious people, but I'm just trying to help you. That sometimes we get down and discouraged and we're not edified because we're being worn out by what we are listening to and what we are paying attention to. We don't have joy. We don't have a heart for others, or we don't have the passion to the motivation. We may not have the faith. We just get kind of worn down and we're not edified. So edification is a way of life that happens from heaven to us. Wouldn't you believe that if Jesus walked into the room that he would edify you? Don't you think that if God had an opportunity to have your attention and talk to you, that he would say, come now, let us reason together. I need to talk to you. Sit down. I want to talk to you, and I want to tell you something. Though your sins be as scarlet, you shall be as white as snow. This is reasoning together that is so edifying, that is grace, that is so encouraging, that is life-changing. We must bring the message of the gospel to the guilty, hurting, sinful world that we are all part of. But we have been translated into another kingdom, and we recognize it. And so we are busy doing that by faith in what God has said. Jesus has sent us here, and we're in this world to bring the gospel and lead people in edification. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Yeah, we didn't make this up. That it's real. That we know what it is to be edified, what it is to be loved, to be forgiven, to be spoken to want to be quiet before you in your presence, to wait upon you for edification, to trust in you. We know what it is to gather together, see each other face to face and say amen in our hearts and know that you believe what I believe, that we are edified in it, and I rejoice with you in it, in the Lord. It doesn't mean that life can't hurt, that there couldn't be troubles, incredible problems, but I know that you are the God that edifies. You speak truth. You lead us in faith. There's a happy ending at the end of our journey. There's an ultimate reality that matches the one that we taste in this life. Lord Jesus, thank you for that. And anyone here listening, come to Jesus today, believe in him. You'll be born of the Spirit, born again, born of God. You'll be edified, built up in faith as you walk by faith in Him. Don't turn back. Keep on by faith. Keep on. You'll see Him and know Him. Anyone saying that prayer, just shoot your hand up. The ushers will come and give you a booklet. Anyone at all? And Lord, we do pray for all of our evangelism and all of our ministry in these important days to bring an incredible message of grace to many people that are in trouble. And it seems they are rejected, unapproved by God. They are under a curse. They are under the wrath of God. But Jesus came to take that curse upon Himself. And there is no one alive today that could not be saved by God's grace, that could not make a decision to come to Him and believe in Him and be born of the Spirit, to have all my sins forgiven and given the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.